This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into First Take, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert, and then, of course, game time in Carolina against the 1-7 Panthers will be high noon in Charlotte. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak on the call of the game. Looking forward to hopefully getting back in the win column. Have to get back in the win column this game. The black and gold have lost their last six in a row, Charlie. It has been a brutal haul. I know for the fans, for the players, and obviously for Saints Radio too. We've had it's a rough go dealing with this for us too.
Yeah, so I did one of my Sunday reports. I called it, they've been thrown a life raft, right? Because you have this game against the worst team in the NFL, and then you have three straight home games.
Right.
And we'll see what happens, right, in this next 4 week stretch. But it's got to start with the win today. This is the, as I mentioned, the life raft game against the worst team in football. Let me read down some stats real quick for you, Steve, because the Saints have now moved to 7.5.
They go, how bad are they?
7.5-point favorites in this game on the road. That's how bad the Panthers are. It's like this started at, I think, 7, and it's apparently money's coming on the Saints because it's moved up. And the difference, for those that don't sports bet, the difference between 7 and 7.5 is actually pretty giant.
Right.
Because you're going from a touchdown to saying, okay, this team's going to win by more than a touchdown. Because if they win by 7, then it's a push, and it doesn't really matter.
And it definitely feels icky because they're the road team here, too.
And there's 7. That means, and you got to account for a couple points. Granted, it's not like the Panthers really have a great home field advantage. I mean, it's kind of rude to say, but it just kind of is what it is. But typically, when you're counting home field advantages, it's worth a couple points, 2, maybe 3 points.
Correct.
So they're saying on a neutral field, the Saints are likely 10 points better, even with this 6-game losing skid, than the Panthers are.
Yikes.
That's just kind of how it is. So, and this with Derek Carr coming back, because now they have a legitimate NFL quarterback under center. Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler, they're both still young. Loomis has expressed his confidence in them. He's reaffirmed it that, you know, he's still very high on both guys, but they're still young. They still need time. I think DA said that Rattler specifically needs, quote-unquote, like time to bake in the oven or something. He used like a weird term.
We saw that. He looked a little bit unfinished out there, obviously.
He looked a little raw. Yeah. And so they both need some time to kind of develop and learn from, you know, the tape that they put out there. But now you have Derek Carr back. And Derek Carr's a savvy vet. He's been around the block a little bit. But I'm going to throw out some stats before we get back into some more sound, Steve. The Panthers' scoring average ranks 29th in the NFL, 15.5 points per game. Scoring defense, they ranked 32nd, last in the NFL.
How many teams are there? 32.
Exactly. 33.9 points given up per game.
Oof.
I mean, that speaks for itself. It's an average margin of loss of 18 points per game. That's where the Panthers are. As far as total offense, they're 29th in the NFL, 281 yards per game. Rushing offense, this is their, as I mentioned, their best stat, 104 yards per game from the rushing attack. Chuba Hubbard is the one guy that really kind of scares you in this matchup because, as far as the bite that I used for Sunday morning, Anish talked about, the Panthers still have a solid offensive line. They spent a lot of money on Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis to kind of bolster their guards. He called it like a top 5, top 10 unit in the NFL. The issue is that they fall behind so early, so they can't really utilize the run because you're playing catch up basically the whole game. Passing offense, 177 yards per game, 30th in the NFL. Total defense, 31st in the NFL, 387.5 yards per game. Rushing defense, this is the stat that I brought up when we were talking with Jeff, and this isn't all just on, you know, the fact that their offense is leaving them out to dry. It's 32nd in the NFL last, 154.6 yards per game. And I think it has a little bit to do, you know, they move on from Frankie Louvu, who is a linebacker that Saints fans will know because he gave the Saints some trouble.
You know it.
He's in Washington, and now he's kicking butt. So, you know, that was obviously a I don't want to call it a mistake by Dan Morgan, but, you know, they let him walk. He goes to Washington, and he's still playing really good football. At the same time, you know, 154.6 yards per game given up on the ground. They lose Derrick Brown in week one in that Saints game. That was their stud on the interior defensive line.
Right.
Without him, they have not been able to stop the run. So you have a couple of interior offensive linemen back with Lucas Patrick and, you know, Cesar Ruiz both playing last week. You know, you're expecting to potentially be able to run the ball even without Kendra Miller and Jamal Williams available because you have Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill available. And then finally, you know, if you want their passing defense, it's 25th. So they're bottom 10 in every single category, Steve.
You have to show up in this game. We can't stress that enough. You know, the Panthers are looked at as the bottom feeders in the, not just the NFC, in the entire league.
Correct. And it's a 2-6 team versus a 1-7 team. So it is what it is. But we have this text on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from, let's see, 48-18. Hard to take as a Saints fan that we're only being a 7.5-point favorite over the worst team in the NFL. I mean, but that's kind of how you can see it, because this Saints team, the largest margin of victory for the Saints in this series came in week one in that 37-point blowout at the Superdome when they won 47-10.
Right, that's an outlier.
The biggest blowout that the Saints have ever had against the Panthers. This, in fact, has been a pretty tight series
right.
throughout its history. The Saints owned the series lead 31-28, so it's been pretty back and forth. They've kind of dominated the Buccaneers historically. The Falcons has also been kind of back and forth, but it's been a lot more in favor of the Saints within the past 20 years. But the Panthers were the one team that Sean Payton didn't really dominate, right? We've talked about that before. Now, the Saints have kind of taken care of Bryce Young within the past 2 years. He's 0-3 against them in his career, so they've kind of gotten the edge there. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, you look at the line, Derek Carr's coming back, and this is a Saints team that's been on a 6-game slide, and they've lost a lot of games by a lot of points recently, but they're going on the road to Carolina, and Vegas is still like, this Carolina team is this bad. We're making them 7-point favorites, and money's come on the Saints to that they've bumped into 7.5.
It's wild.
So that just kind of tells you, like, what you're seeing here from Carolina.
You obviously mentioned the big one for the black and gold, Derek Carr, the veteran back under center. He was dealing with an oblique injury and missed some time, and he describes what exactly he was going through. Here's a clip of what Carr had to say.
It wasn't the most painful thing I've ever dealt with. It really wasn't. It wasn't really painful. It was just a lack of being able to do my job. And so that was the most frustrating part, because I couldn't just play through it. You know, I just literally couldn't do it. And so it's been the most frustrating injury I've ever had, besides breaking my ankle and not being able to play in the playoffs, you know, that year. But this is the most frustrating because there's literally nothing that I could do but wait and just let it heal.
What could you not do?
Throw. sneeze, cough, hold my kids. There was a lot of things that, you know, my daughter ran up to me, like, you know, we get home, she sees me the next morning, and she comes running up, and I went to grab her, and I was like, nope. So it was tough. You know, I think not being able to hold my kids was probably the hardest part.
Now, Derek Carr dealing with an injury that a former Saints quarterback, Drew Brees, know a little bit about. He dealt with the same thing, so Carr did the smart move, texted Brees about dealing with this injury, and here's what Carr said Brees told him.
You know, I said, hey, I know you had this back in this, you know, year, you know, was something, and things like, just make sure your mechanics, you know. He gave me other advice, but he's like, just don't let your mechanics suffer to just try and get back on the field, because then, you know, you won't feel the same. And so, you know, for me, it was about every part of the stages, every part of the process was making sure that I kept all of that right, whether it was at 5 yards, 10 yards, or, you know, 50 yards. You know, I just made sure, you know, that, you know, I have to be able to do it the right way to make sure that I don't have to do my best to make sure there's no setback.
Now, we haven't seen Carr dealing with this injury since Monday Night Football at Kansas City. He's missed the past couple of games and is obviously pretty darn anxious to get on the field for kickoff in Carolina.
Well, we got 9 weeks that are promised to us, right? And, you know, or 10 weeks, whatever week this is, right? And there's just a full commitment just from myself to our guys. You know, when I get back, I'm going to be a psychopath. I'm going to be crazy about the details and everything, because we only get one shot at this, you know? And so I don't have any promises. I don't have anything except I'll promise great effort. I'll promise, you know, long nights and early mornings, you know, to make sure that we're at our best.
You heard Carr there talking about he was coming back as a psychopath today in Carolina, and really stressed to the fact to fans and to the media here that this black and gold bunch has not given up on the season.
You either give up or you fight. And I really believe our team's going to fight. I really believe that just from what I felt at practice today, what I felt in our meeting room, the attention to detail, the guys are asking questions, the give up factor, that this isn't, it's not in the locker room. And I think where you put your finger on that is like, who are you bringing in your locker room? And I really feel like we have great leaders. I really feel like we have great people, great men, and our coaching staffs are on the same page. Usually when you see that stuff start happening, it starts there, you know, and you see, you feel the tension with this and this and this. Just being honest with you, I've seen it more times than I'd like to admit. And then it trickles down, because what's that position hearing in their room when the door's closed? What are they hearing? You know, and it's, there's none of that. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone, you see them communicating. That's stuff I watch for, you know, just been doing it a while. And our guys are doing that. So we're doing all the right things. We're trying our best. Now, does that promise us great results? No, we gotta put the work in and go do it on Sundays, but it does give us a better chance than doing it the other way.
6-game skid, obviously the team now 2-6 on the season, and you start looking at the rest of the standings around the NFL and you get a little, you know, hesitant or a little doubtful about what you're able to achieve going the rest of the year. And we heard him saying there, like, this squad, this team, the players still believe, they haven't give up. Carr was asked, how do you stay the course when things are dark?
This game can turn so quick. And so you just try and stay positive. And the main thing is you got to put the work in and do things the right way. And so if we hold each other accountable peer-to-peer to make sure everyone's putting that work in, it usually turns around.
Carr also mentioning that Coach Dennis Allen did have a talk with team captains as things were looking pretty grim.
DA has the captains meet like off and on, but once a month, like for a dinner. And we had that this week, and I think he was looking for some information. I was like, and all of us to a man were like, we're good. Locker room's good. Double D, myself, Cam. Did we put ourselves in a certain situations as tough? Absolutely, we did that. Injuries, all that, none of it matters. We're in that position. And so, you know, where are we right now? I say we're in a pivotal place, right? We gotta win. You know, that's where we're at. But we're also in a good place mentally. You know, our locker room, the mentality, the way guys are flying around at practice, because I've been around it, man, where it goes the other way and practice just feels dull, feels dead. You try and motivate a guy, he won't do it, all that kind of stuff. I've seen it, you know, and that was not the case with our team.
Derek Carr talking about this black and gold bunch. Obviously, he's back in the mix and looking to overcome that 6-game skid right now, and it's pretty daunting task, but you look at it, you can't go on a win streak until you get that getting going, and obviously Carolina, man, this is a game prime for the picking against a Panthers bunch. We've gone through the numbers. We know how dysfunctional, obviously, ownership is.
Oh, yeah.
pretty much, you feel like the coaching staff right now, at least talking to some of the Carolina folks, feel like that the Dave Canales was ready to stick with a guy like Andy Dalton. But this is coming from Dave Tepper, that he wants to see more of Bryce Young.
Well, this goes back to what we were saying about Andy Dalton probably gives them a better chance to pull off the upset against the Saints. And I think if Andy Dalton was starting, the line would not be 7.5 points for the Saints in Carolina.
Maybe around 4. Or maybe not, that's maybe 2, maybe 6.5.
Yeah, it would have been a
difference.
I don't
want to say Andy Dalton's going to move the needle that much.
It would have moved the needle, though.
A little bit, yeah.
It definitely, I think the reason why the Saints are as heavily favored as they are is because they're playing Bryce Young, who's been so bad against them in his career. Now, as far as the Saints offense goes, and Derek Carr returning, it is a welcome return, because the last couple of weeks when he's been out with an oblique injury, just recapping, yeah, the Saints put up 27 points in the second quarter against Tampa Bay, and then they didn't score in the second half. They didn't score in the first quarter either, but they didn't score in the second half. Against Denver, they put up 3 points for the first three quarters of the game, and then they score that late touchdown with Jay Kaner, so they put up 10 points. And then against the Chargers, who had the best defense in the NFL, they put up, well, I guess technically 6 points, because the 8 came from the safety as well.
Correct.
It's been nothing.
Stuck in the mud.
The offense has not had juice. And so you're hoping that, you know, it provides a jolt, right, with Carr coming back. And, I mean, it doesn't get easier as far as going up against an opposing defense than what you've seen from Carolina. I already read the numbers. They're at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, hopefully the negative output from both the Spencer Rattler, Jay Kaner, and the offense and what they were able to do doesn't have any lingering, you know, effects on both young quarterbacks.
No, I don't. You got to take it in stride, right? You got to take it as a learning experience.
Yeah, at least they weren't getting killed, you know, where there was a ton of sacks.
No, I don't think so. And so, but you got your NFL snaps, you got a couple plays under your belt, you got drives under your belt. you got to kind of take it as that learning experience, right? I mean, Derek Carr is the starter of this team. So they knew that he would eventually be back. The oblique injury obviously wasn't season ending. It was just going to be a couple weeks. They didn't tread water without him, though. And so now he's back. And he said also as well, Steve, I know that we had this clip at some point that we played during the week, that he's not going to be like the savior of this team or anything like that. But he's still a welcome change because the offense just has not operated.
But he will be a maniac.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be a psychopath.
That's it, psychopath.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Looking forward to hearing from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talking text line. Who that's 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, some more sound. Hearing from one of the team leaders in Cam Jordan, see what he had to say as his black and gold bunch is in Carolina looking to snap a six-game skid. Be back with more of First Take after this here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. The New Orleans Saints partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience as mingle with Saints legends.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
During the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. Make sure you go online, check that out. We're back here on First Take getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, where the Cajun Cannon Bobby Aber will get you ready for a noon start in Carolina against a Panthers squad that has not won a game, well, one game all season. They haven't won in a while, too. The Saints on a six-game skid. Obviously, team leadership for this black and gold bunch has been called upon to rally the team and try to find a way to get back into the win column. One of those guys on the defense, Cam Jordan, the defensive end, talked about the current outlook on this season from the player's perspective.
With nine opportunities left, we have to find a way, walk, crawl, claw, whatever it is, to find a solution. I clearly don't know what that solution is, or else we wouldn't be sitting here 2-6. Whether that's up top, down low, being the players, anything in between, hell, the equipment guys, whatever it takes to get us back into the win column. You know, I know Carolina's having their problems, but we've never been worried about anybody outside of our locker room. We got to focus on us and what that takes. So anybody who takes the field has to have that mentality.
How tough has it become, like week after week, six games losing streak, and you're there for something like this?
Man,
how tough is it to say positive?
Hey, on a double spectrum of never been in a losing situation and never been a situation that I'm in this year currently. Had you told me previously what had been going on, I'm like, hell yeah, we've got nothing but talent and possibilities. You don't foresee injuries. You don't foresee given roles. You don't, you know, foresee you ever losing this many games in a season, let alone in a row. So you have to focus. There's nothing to be happy about. At the same time, there's nothing but a possibility to bring positive energy into it. You got to speak life not only to the game, you got to bring it to practice each and every day.
One thing with a team, Cam Jordan, you know, talked about, obviously, no quit in this black and gold bunch. It's the biggest insult you can give to, I think, a team, a player's. Here's what he had to say.
Even right now, 2-6, there's still nine possibilities. So there's still a lot of success to be had. You have to be able to find that solution and grasp it now. I don't think there's like, oh, the season's long. No, we're halfway through.
Recognizing the time is now, the season is not long anymore. Obviously, 2-6 on the team on the season. Time running out to get into not only the win column but back on the plus 500 side of things. You're way in the dumps right now. Why does Cam Jordan have faith in this black and gold bunch?
Faith can always be shaken, but it doesn't disappear. So my faith is still the Saints are going to figure out a way to win somehow, someway. And at the end of the season, if that's not the case, then I'll adjust it then. But in my mind, we're going 11-6.
That's a big, big optimistic outlook from Cam. What does he feel needs to change on the defensive side of the ball to get there?
I was going to throw out, you know, like, hey, we can get more sacks on D-line. We can get more pressures. We could be more gap sound because, I mean, prior to this last game of them averaging like 2.5 a clip from the running back spot, I think it was like 6.5, you know, 300-400 yards on the ground, and that's embarrassing. So to have a game like Chargers and still not come out with the win, you go to the halftime with the score was what, 5-9? So, you know, you look at it like that is at halftime the last 4 or 5 games, you've looked at them like, all right, we're in a position, striking distance or ahead of the game. We have to be able to take the lead or keep the lead. We haven't been able to do so. So it's not confidence in the first half. ultimate confidence. There needs to be confidence and strength in the second half. So whatever that is to finish out the last 30 minutes.
Cam Jordan also asked, back again on that perception that this black and gold team has not been bought into what the coaches are doing, at least.
DA's had a meeting with the captains. Captains have had a talk just between ourselves. We've had talks with our position groups. Talking is talking. Until we walk in, it's going to be hard for people to be like, oh, they're bought in. I'm bought in. There's blood to be bled, and I'm always going to bleed black and gold.
Do you guys have a team-wide players meeting?
Not yet. It's probably happening soon, though. I mean, I think that everybody understands exactly where we are. And I feel like when people aren't bought in is when you have like a team meeting. I feel like this is something that you feel in the morning meetings. This is something you feel in the locker room. This is something you feel at practice. How everybody wants to win and talks about winning and still talks about winning. So there's not a dire need of like, oh, he's not bought in. It's a dire need of it's time to prove that we are a winning organization.
Been up really rough up front on that D-line for this black and gold bunch this year. We've seen sometimes the inability to put that pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And man, oh man, obviously the run defense has been a huge issue, Charlie, no matter, it seems, what back they end up facing.
Yeah, and the passing, you know, defense has been okay, but the issue is now that they've been decimated by injuries back there. So we have an update as well. Steve, New Orleans South Football's Nick Underhill reporting Rico Payton is now doubtful. He's been downgraded to doubtful for today.
Take another name out that secondary mix.
It's just like, who's playing cornerback? It's Alante, I guess, on one side, Shamarjon Charles on the other, and then you got Ugo in the nickel. I mean, but if anyone gets hurt, like, what's next?
Right, you're going to have to start pulling JT Gray from special teams to start contributing in the secondary.
Yeah, correct. And, I mean, Trey Herndon, who I think you just pulled up.
Right, exactly.
That's basically what you're looking at for this cornerback room. Granted, it's against Bryce Young.
Taysom Hill, just throw him out there in the secondary.
Yeah, just have him play safety, right? Wasn't that what DA said? Like, if Hill could play defense, he'd have him play at safety, I think.
Might be needed today. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Jokingly aside, though, yeah. Definitely good to have Taysom Hill back in the mix last week. Still want to see more of his involvement in this offense. And I think, obviously, a day like today against the Carolina bunch, I think you can use that his physicality to your advantage for sure.
Yeah, the worst rush defense in the NFL.
Come on.
And Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill are your top two backs for today.
Right, because we know that there is no Kendra Miller on IR.
And Jamal Williams is out. So
groin issue.
Yeah, correct. And it's those two, and then I think Jordan Mims is someone else that they signed to the active roster, so he'll be ready to go.
A little play there, right. But it's definitely your bulk of your carries. Obviously, Alvin, and then hopefully it's a big smattering of Taysom, because I'll tell you what, I've elevated Taysom from my fantasy roster to the starting roster.
There you go.
From my bench to the starting roster.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed. But I think it's got to be a heavy workload for Taysom. I mean, he's been back now for his second game back?
Yeah.
So without Kendra or Jamal available, you're going to have to probably lean on Taysom, because you want to be able to run the football against this team. They haven't been able to stop it without Derek Brown all year. So that's what you just got to do. You got to be able to pound it down their throats. So Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, expect both big games from both of them.
Looking at the wide receiver group, Chris Olave is back from his concussion. And a lot of talk this week, though, is he was practicing with that guardian cap on. And could we see that end up, you know, trickling into the game? How did he feel about it? And he really wasn't sure about, you know, if he would wear the guardian cap come game time, but was going through it with practice. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. With you see a guy that's had a history of dealing with concussions, it's an issue for him right now. Seemed a little even hesitant last week, and maybe that guardian cap gives him some confidence. But I understand, too, maybe it's the most not comfortable, and it's definitely a little bit of an awkward look for guys that I don't know if they can get over.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really weird. I would need to look up the stats on how much it lowers the concussion rate for players.
I believe they said it's around 52%.
Like, that seems like a no-brainer for everyone.
Right.
Especially, you see it a lot in the trenches where those guys do have contact on every single play. So, you know, that makes sense. With Chris Olave, it would make sense. He's got a history of concussions within the last few years. He just gets lit up at times, Steve. And I know that Tua, who's had, been the highest profile example of concussion issues recently, refuses to wear one. So I just don't know. Like, if you're going to keep playing, it just seems, once again, like a no-brainer to actually wear the guardian cap.
I almost feel like it's a cosmetic thing for most of the players, because they don't want to be called soft by their peers.
Whatever. I mean, deal with that later in life.
It was funny that Olave said that he did make a helmet switch and has the top-of-the-line helmet now. And that one grabbed me, too. Like, wait a minute, why don't all the players have the top-of-the-line helmet? But I guess it's a preference of comfort and what you're used to as well with the different styles.
Yeah, this wide receiver group, Steve, you know, looking at it, Olave's the guy, right? Mason Tipton, who Mike interviewed on the Saints Hour this past week, he got to talk with him. And Mason talked about how he's getting more comfortable week to week. But this is still someone that, I mean, he's kind of been just into playing bigger snap roles because of the injury to Rashid Shaheed. And then you got Cedric Wilson, who I think is questionable for today.
Right.
He's been dealing with, like, an injury this week as well. Bub Means gets placed on the IR. So, you know, it's kind of slim pickings there as well.
It's really unreal to think of all the injuries that this Saints squad has dealt with. And we kind of were joking back and forth, too, the other day, texting back and forth on the injuries with not just the Saints, also the Pelicans. It's just been brutal for us, man.
There's something in the water or something, Steve. It's been awful.
Change the filter at the Ms. Benson's, you know, team facility over there. It doesn't seem to be working for both squads.
Yeah, obviously this isn't Saints because we're talking Pels real quick here. Four of their top six players are injured, and it was five games into the year.
Yeah.
Now we're six with the Pels getting that big win on Friday night against Indiana, which was fun. They're back to .500. But they're down with their starting point guard. They're down their starting shooting guard, starting forward. You know, your sixth man. Four of their top six rotational pieces are out.
Do you know offhand when we're supposed to get a guy like Trey Murphy back? Because I feel like they're definitely missing that presence, that three-point pop.
I think Ali told us it was like he's targeting potentially the game against the Nets, which is coming up pretty soon.
Okay.
I'll get that exactly.
All right, so it's not too far off. Because, you know, you're just looking, obviously, names missing. I know it's going to be a while till DeJounte Murray's healed up from that break.
Yeah, he's been cleared to return to practice. Let me double-check the date.
Looking at the Pels squad in action tonight, a 6 p.m. tip in the Smoothie King Center with the Atlanta Hawks in town. So we won't even get to see DeJounte taking on his former squad.
That's unfortunate.
Looking at the team, though, you know, hopefully they can build on a win on Friday against the Pacers. And suddenly, you know, you start manifesting things a little at your little, you have a home, you know, stand right now. And they need all this positive oomph during this part to rebuild after a rough road stand to start the year. And, you know, the injuries have been a huge question, obviously. But the one guy who has looked healthy and has been a lot better, Zion Williamson, also, I'll say, with injuries, Brandon Ingram's been pretty stout for this team.
All right. So real quick, Steve, that Nets game is on the 11th, November 11th. So that's the last thing we'll say about the Pels.
All right, so eight more days till we can maybe get
Trey. I think what they're targeting. As far as we got a text asking, just tune in, is our new wide receiver going to be suited up for today's game? Marquez Valdes-Scantling? I'm not sure. He was signed before the game last week.
Yeah, I believe he is in the mix for today's game. Obviously, we'll find out when we get Deuce on for the injury update.
Yeah, so I think you'll probably see. But he wasn't on the injury report this week.
No, not at all.
But he wasn't on the injury report last week, and he didn't play.
Right, it was just a matter of he had enough time to catch up in this offense to be put on the field. I think Valdes-Scantling, or are we going to call him what, MVS? Make it a lot easier. He'll be ready to go in this game, having enough time to catch up to speed. So I would assume Olave is your number one, and then Scantling is number two.
Olave and Tipton, Scantling's going to be in that mix.
Cedric Wilson, right.
Like, that's kind of what you're looking at in the passing attack. So, you know, it was kind of interesting. One of the best parts about Rattler and Hayner was their usage of the tight end position, right? Juwan Johnson and Foster Moreau. And maybe if they can get more involved as well. I mean, the tight end spot was one that I really kind of slammed entering the year. It's just like they've kind of ignored it. Like, they signed Foster Moreau, you know, they gave money to Juwan Johnson as a former undrafted free agent, but they haven't really gotten the dude there. And obviously, you know, we're seeing what Brock Bowers is doing in his rookie year
in
Las Vegas. I'm not saying that, like, look, Taliese Fuaga has been great as well. Man, I would really like to have a legit tight end. So, but at the same time, when you have these banged up receivers and Chris Olave is basically the guy, you got to have to incorporate Juwan and Foster as well.
You're just bitter from 2 years ago when they didn't draft a tight end.
I'm still angry about that. I mean, geez.
That was quite a obviously, you know, we talked to our draft analyst and specialist and Mike Dettillier, who raved about how it was the best draft I think he's ever seen in the tight end class in 2023, and we got Zippo out of it.
Tucker Kraft's doing pretty well in Green Bay, and Dalton Kincaid's doing pretty well in Buffalo. You know, Sam Laporta.
Beast.
Yeah. Jeez. It was a great draft class to get a tight end, and the Saints just didn't.
Oh, well, next time.
Yeah, right.
We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, getting to you some of your calls here on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line. You can sound off 504-260-1870. How you feeling heading into today's game? You hopeful? You looking forward to the matchup against a Panthers squad to get back in the win column? Or I know a lot of folks are kind of like, we should just lose out so we improve the draft pick. Why try and get to be a playoff team right now when things are looking so grim? But want to hear from you folks. 504-260-1870. Your thoughts when we get back right here on First Take after the break on WWL. Wake up, Hoodats. It is game day. First Take here on WWL. Want to hear from you. 504-260-1870. The Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up next. 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. A noon start in Carolina. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak on the call against the Panthers. It's Black and Gold Bunch. Desperately in need of snapping a six-game losing skid. Jimmy on Gretna on the line for is going to start things off. What you got for us today, Jimmy? How you feeling about today's game?
I'm tired, dude. This time change got me shook, brother. I've been up since 3 a.m., man. It's got me stressed out, all this sunlight. I will say, and, you know, Charlie, we've talked about this. You know, I bleed black and gold, whether it's my Southern Miss Golden Eagles or it's my Saints. You know, Southern Miss football fired their coach about 2 weeks ago midseason. We were 1-7. Rumor is we're looking at Coach O. We'll see. Hopefully, Coach O, if you're listening to the big station here, come on down to Hattiesburg, all right? We're ready for you.
Go Eagles. Look,
all I'm saying is, yeah, hey, look, listen, if it was needed, I'm not saying Dennis Allen needs to be fired midseason. I don't see it happening. But I do think today, against an opponent that is lesser than us.
Yep.
It's a must-win game. But at the same time, every player in the NFL is good, right? Every player was all Big Ten, all Big 12, all SEC, this and that. Anything can happen. It's going to come down to turnovers. I feel confident with Derek Carr coming back, we're going to win. And then we go into two important home games against the rivals in the Falcons next week, and then Jameis Winston coming to town 2 weeks. Right? Is that right? November 17th, I think it is. So we got so the next couple games, it all comes down to today. I do think that if we don't win today, the season's over, and the rest is just for fun and giggles and all that kind of stuff. So it's a must-win game, and it kind of leads us into the next two big home games against, again, our biggest rival and the guy that we kind of, you know,
tossed aside.
You know, yeah, I mean, we did toss Jameis aside. I wasn't ever the biggest fan of his. He didn't really get a chance. Neither did Taysom Hill after Drew Brees, you know. And it's just now we're here. And look, listen, you guys know I'm a fan of Spencer Rattler. I know a lot of Saints fans are like, well, we know he's not the future. But you got to realize that, one, he's a rookie. Number two, he was playing behind a very porous offensive line. So we got to keep that in mind. Those three games helped him in a way. But, you know, you learn by trial and error and trial by fire. So I'm still confident. I like him. And, you know, Derek, we're stuck with Carr. I want to get your take on this. With all the rumors about Lattimore possibly being on the trade block, I know we just signed Kamara, but that doesn't mean that he won't be traded because now we have him under contract. Other teams might want to be interested. What do you think is going to happen going into next year if we do get a new coach? One that's not as in love, quote unquote, with Derek Carr as, say, Dennis Allen was with his Raider years and all that.
Right.
Do you foresee a quarterback change considering how much his contract is guaranteed? What do you see happening going into next year maybe with Derek Carr?
Appreciate the call, Jimmy. And with Jameis Winston, too, I feel like he wrote his ticket out of town by changing the victory formation play for that touchdown play right there. So he had his shot here and kind of said, to me at least, I don't want to be here because I'm not going to listen to the head coach, and you just can't keep that around.
So, real quick.
Right, as for the Derek Carr scenario.
Before we get to Derek Carr,
okay.
The Saints get a little bit of quarterback luck by playing Bryce Young today. I think they get unlucky by playing Jameis Winston in a couple weeks. Deshaun Watson was like the worst quarterback in the NFL. He was awful.
But I feel like Jameis will revert back to Jameis.
Yeah, maybe so. And maybe he'll throw a couple of lollipops up there for the Saints DBs to go get whoever is playing DB at that point. As far as the Lattimore news goes real quick, Jimmy, before we get to Carr, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm not exactly sure if he will get traded. Apparently, a couple teams, John Hendricks of Sports Illustrated was reporting on this, that the Chiefs are interested.
Oh, boy. In Lattimore?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Oh, boy, if the Chiefs get Lattimore. As if their defense isn't already good enough. Oh, my goodness. So, but at the same time, the quote, and once again, I'm paraphrasing this, the quote from Loomis is that he's not going to trade players for undervalued offers.
Right.
So if they want Lattimore, pay up. Now, it's not a seller's market right now. That's the issue. It's a buyer's market. So what really is the price tag for someone like Lattimore?
Well, the problem too with Lattimore, obviously the injury history of late is not going to give you top dollar either, or top value, I should say, for the player.
Yeah, and as far as Carr goes, I think he's here for another year regardless, just based off his contract. So, I mean, you have him in the black and gold next year. I think even if they do get a new coach, I think he's still going
to ride it out with the vet.
I think he's still going to be the quarterback for next year, and mostly because if things really do bottom out, it's not a good quarterback class, Steve. And based off of what Loomis has said about both Haener and Rattler, they think that they like both of those young guys that just need some more time.
We're going to get into some of what Dez Johnson had to say from the Locked On Panthers podcast. How is he feeling about another lost season already for this Panther squad?
I don't know. It's at a point where we're kind of getting used to it, but that's the sad thing about it, that we're getting used to it here in the Carolinas. On one hand, we're kind of like, we kind of knew coming in that they were going to have to strip this down to the studs. And I think we got optimistic with some of the offseason moves they made that they could be competitive. But then once injuries and stuff set in, the first really 2-3 weeks of the season, especially on defense to main defensive starters like, you know, Shaq Thompson, Derrick Brown, once those guys, like leaders in the locker room on the defensive side, fell, then it just became a matter of the Panthers can't stop anybody. Like they can't stop anyone. And then with the latest stuff with Andy getting hurt and Bryce back in, and the fans are divided between letting Bryce play the whole year or just whatever. And so we'll see how this experiment plays out here in Carolina.
The experiment in Carolina has been going miserably right now for this their black and blue bunch.
Yes. And so David Tepper has been the major nightmare.
One of the worst owners you consider now in the NFL.
I think he's probably the worst at this point. He wants a medal and everything. He wants everything, instant gratification, and it just hasn't been working out. So he's going to keep on firing every coach and keep on picking, you know, the players that he wants to pick, and it's just not worked out.
First Take winding down here on WWL, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up next with the Cajun Cannon. Going to take a break. When we do return, we'll get some of Deuce McAllister's thoughts about the winning culture on this team when we return. So stay tuned on WWL First Take after this. Wrapping up here, First Take coming up next. Stay tuned. Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert, who dat?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.